Hey, 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 welcome to the Dr. Gigi Jasmine Show. I am your host, Dr. Gigi Jasmine. This episode is brought to you by... Today is my marriage anniversary. 18 years of putting up with each other. Well, it's been more than putting up with each other. It's been an incredible ride of ups and downs, of heartbreaks, successes, failures, and conflicts, and everything else that comes with being married. And today I want to share with you 18 indispensable lessons I learned from those 18 years. Today have been a wonderful day, possibly the best anniversary that I've had in a long time. Because as I shared with you throughout some of my episodes, that we share 6 kids and we have been pouring everything we have into those kids. And sometimes we have nothing left for ourselves. So I am ready to share with you 18 indispensable lessons from those 18 years to help you really get your marriage back on track and really make it a remarkable one. Are you ready? Grab your pen and paper and let's get started. Hey, 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 my name is Dr. Gigi Jasmine, and I am obsessed with all things personal development and helping you face your fears, shatter your limiting beliefs, and show up messy in this process of creating a life and business that lights you up. I am the girl from the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere who put herself through school, became an educator, built a real estate business, and wrote the book on conquering your past. Is there a subject that's off limits? No way. Mindset, money, abuse, mental health, family, education are all topics we discuss here. This is the place where you will learn how to be a happy, vibrant, curious, productive, and brave woman who built a life she loves. Grab your lime water and your favorite cozy pillow and get ready to take messy action. This is the Dr. Gigi Jasmine Show. Welcome to the Dr. Gigi Jasmine Show, episode 74. I am so excited about this topic. I am about to share with you 18 indispensable lessons that I learned from being married for 18 years. Yes, I cannot believe it has been that long. It seems like just the other day we got together and now it's already been 18 years. But those 18 years, like any other relationship, you have ups and downs, you have conflicts, you have all sorts of things that happens that we wonder sometimes, how long can we put up with this? Okay. And I know on social media and other places, you see people faking the funk, acting like everything is always perfect when it's not. And I'm here to tell you, marriage is not easy. And you probably already know because you have friends and you see how hard it is to get along with your friends, right? You have conflict with your friends. So imagine living with a person 24/7 and you have to deal with all of their nuances, all of their habits, and all of their ways. And I'm sure something is about to happen. Some conflict is about to happen, okay? And how do you handle these conflicts when they do come up? So, I mean, these 18 lessons are in no particular order, but I just want to share a few things that I jot down that came to me naturally as I was making the list. And I hope you are able to benefit from this. And I hope you are able to pick one or two things you can actually start applying right now to your relationships so you can start making it a remarkable one. Because it can be a remarkable one if you choose to make it. If both of you as partners, if you agree to make this work, to make this marriage work, you will do the work necessary to make sure it happens. That is how you show commitment to each other. And my husband and I, definitely we have shown that commitment to love and care and work and raise these children together, because there have been, I'm sure, plenty of opportunities where we could have gone our separate ways. But because we have a strong foundation in our love and in our faith, we are able to overcome a lot of obstacles that comes our way. And I'm not saying it's easy to do that. I mean, obstacles are not easy to overcome. They take time. They take endurance. They take commitment. They take determination. They take a lot, as you know. And that is what I'm going to share with you. So let's get right into it. 18 indispensable lessons from my 18 years of marriage. Number one, build your marriage foundation on God. That is the foundation. We met at church, so God has always been a big part of our lives. We feel like believing in a higher power, you have someone else to really go to, okay? You have a higher power to respond to. I'm not responding. It's not really the right word, but that's the word that's coming to me right now. You know that, you know, even if you feel like, okay, you're having a conflict with your spouse and you feel like, oh my gosh, this is the last resort, the last point, the last person I have to talk to. But no, you have God to consult. If you believe, I believe in the Bible. I believe what God says about marriage. So I work so hard to implement my faith, to really live by my faith. And I know that sometimes my faith asks me to do a lot of things that I don't want to do because I feel like my husband may be wrong, or I feel like I don't want to do it. I just want to be stubborn. I just want to be disobedient because I don't want to look like the weaker person. But having a foundation in God allows you to go to a source of more wisdom, more power than you have to actually answer some of your questions and to guide you along the way when you're having difficulties and when you are facing troubles. Number two, learn each other's love language and do at least one thing every day to fulfill it. I think once you marry someone, you are in the business of finding out what pleases them, what makes them happy. And your part of your relationship with them is to fulfill that need. You know, my husband loved to talk and he loves for me to touch him. He loves for me to spend time with him. He loves my cooking too. He loves eating, I know. And I love eating too. And a lot of these things become little things I can do each and every day to make sure that our relationship flows in the right direction. I can cook a nice meal. It doesn't take me that long. I mean, I have been cooking forever, that I can cook a decent meal in 15 to 30 minutes. So I can get that done. I know that he loves for me to talk with him and spend some time with him. Yes, I make sure that I have a good 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, after he comes from work for me to chat with him. I know that he likes to be touched. So I try to be as intimate as I can with him because that's what makes him feel special. So learn each other's love language and do your best to implement it each and every day. And you don't have to tell the person you're doing it. You just do it naturally and it's going to flow and it's going to become a habit for you. And believe me, your partner is going to respond accordingly. They're going to want to please you too. They're going to want to do things that make you happy. Number three, embrace the power of trust. Trust is really a foundation. It's really a strong foundation for your marriage. Just like I said, foundation number one is on God. I mean, you have to trust God in order for you to follow God, right? And in the same way, God has given you the hierarchy. God tells you to love God, you know, love your spouse, and then love your children. That's how it goes. And you have to trust the process. If you don't trust the process, it's going to be hard for you to actually go through it. So if you trust God, then most likely you're going to trust your spouse. So give your spouse the benefit of the doubt, okay? Listen to your spouse when they tell you something. Don't contradict them. Don't if you have some trust issues, if you're always questioning everything, every little thing, and making your spouse feel uncomfortable, you may have some work to do. But if you don't trust your spouse, it's going to be hard for you to maintain a good relationship, because there's always going to be some kind of tension. There's always going to be some kind of problem. So find out what trust really means in your relationship, and if you are actually implementing it. And if it is an issue, how can you fix it? Okay, there are counselors all over the place. That there are books you can read. There are so many things you can do to actually grow your trust in each other if that is a problem for you. Because if you don't have trust, then it's like you don't have anything. If I don't trust God to do what he says he's going to do, then there's no relationship. And just like if you don't trust your spouse, then there's no relationship, because there's always going to be some conflict. Number 4, engage regularly in shared interests. This is so important, because when you spend time with each other, you bond, you grow together, you learn about each other, you become closer to each other. And if you take time to really learn about you and your partner and find out what is it that you guys like doing together, then it will pay dividends if you take the time to really do it. Recently, my husband and I, we took on cycling. Okay, we like biking. Well, I don't want to say cycling it, because we are just starting to bike, and then we started learning about the process, and we both enjoy it, because in reality, we used to do a lot of walking and exercising before, but as we got into parenting, we did less and less of that because there were so many other things to do. So unfortunately, we let that go for a time, but we still have a lot of working out equipment in the garage that we use from time to time, but not as regularly as we used to. But now we have taken this interest in biking, and we both are enjoying it. And when I'm spending 2-3 hours with him on a Saturday, us alone, that is a great thing, because finally we have an opportunity to spend some time alone, and it's incredible. It's incredible. So that allows us to really get to know each other, to push each other, to really, you know, sometimes we have our partner time with each other, but we also have an opportunity to be alone too, because he is faster than me most of the time. So sometimes he goes right ahead and do something, or sometimes he let me go ahead and he stays back, and we have a chance to actually be with ourselves in nature. And that is so incredible, because we get to do two things at the same time: be with each other and then be with nature and be an individual and meditate while we're doing our cycling. All right. Number 5, give each other room to be his or her best self. And I think I kind of touched on that a little bit, but you know what? You don't stop being an individual when you get married, because you, just like I said, find a regular shared interest that you have, something you two like to do together. But there will be things that I like to do, my husband would like to do, and vice versa, right? And vice versa. So it's okay for me to have my thing and for him to have his thing. You know, like I enjoy networking and talking to people. He doesn't necessarily, that's not something he looked forward to do. He would rather sit and watch MMA, and he can watch MMA by himself. He'll be fine. Sometimes I watch MMA, a lot of time these days now, I watch mixed martial arts with him. But if he wants to do something totally different, that's okay. I don't have to be involved in every single thing that he does. And also vice versa, he doesn't have to be involved in every single thing that I do. So give each other space to be themselves, to be his or herself, her best self, because her dreams are not your dreams. His dreams are not your dreams. You each have something different. If you both can have similar dreams and you guys can work together, that would be awesome too. Okay? That's not off the table, because some people are so in sync with each other that they carry each other's dreams. And that is awesome. But don't be afraid to give each other the room for this person to do an individual thing that they really enjoy, that fulfills them, And that helps them to grow as a person, personally and professionally. Number six, find new ways to create new experiences to keep the marriage fresh. I know after being married for 20 years, I mean, for years, we were just parenting six kids, and we are very involved in our kids' lives, and we want to set them up for success. So we were pouring everything into them, right? And we're doing the same activities all the time. It was soccer games, it was church, it was school activities and all sorts of things. But everything revolves around the kids. And sometimes we keep doing the same thing over and over again. That becomes routine, becomes boring kind of thing. It becomes expected. So find new ways. It could be sometimes just a walk in the park. Sometimes it's just getting ice cream. Or when was the last time you had a picnic with your spouse? Or it could be going to the beach. I mean, you won't believe, we have a community pool here. You won't believe how long it's been since we've been there. But my husband and I, we can certainly have a moment there by ourselves, and we can go pretty much at any time. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to find new ways to create new experiences to keep your marriage fresh. Number seven, respect each other's boundaries and values. Okay, that is very important, because if we don't respect each other's boundaries, then you know what? There's going to be conflict. Like if I tell my husband, this is how I want to be treated, this is how I want to be spoken to, this is how I want to be when there is a conflict in our marriage, in our relationship, this is how I want to handle it, and he does totally differently, then I know that there's no respect there, right? So once you respect each other's boundaries and values, oh, life is going to be a whole lot smoother for you. Right? But in order for people or your significant other, your spouse, to respect your boundaries and your values, they must know what they are. So number eight, we're going to say create. Okay. Well, number eight, let's go to become self-aware, right? In order for people to respect your boundaries and your values, you must know what they are. And you must be self-aware enough to know what your boundaries are, what your values are, what do you believe in, how do you want to be treated, how do you want to live your life, what do you like, what don't you like. You have to become self-aware of who you are as a person, what you like and what you don't like, what hurts you and what doesn't, what you value and what you don't value. And then number nine, you have to be able to express your self-awareness to your spouse in order for them to know how it is you want to be treated. Because we often want our spouses to read our minds. They can't. They're not God. They cannot read our minds. All right? And I'm guilty of that. And I'm sure you're guilty of that too. We say, oh, they should have known. They should have known this is how I am. But in reality, you have to take the time to express your values, your boundaries, in order for your spouse and others to honor them. All right? Number 10, create space for honesty. We often say we want people to be honest with us. We want to know the truth. But when they tell us the truth, we get upset. Okay, we throw tantrums, or we give people the silent treatment. Whatever the case is, okay, the truth is when we do that, we are not showing that we are creating a safe space for people to be honest with us. And because we are not creating a safe space for people to be honest with us, we are not also creating a safe space for accepting people's honesty. All right? So if you respect someone and you want them to be honest with you, you have to be open enough to listen to what they have to say and see if there is any merit in it, and if there is anything you need to learn, and if there's anything you need to work from there. But if you automatically shut them down, then they will be reluctant to tell you the truth. And if there's anything that I learned from studying leadership, is that you have to put people around you who could tell you the truth, who are not going to sugarcoat things, who are not trying to people please you, but who will tell you the truth, because that is how you will grow. That is how you will avoid making mistakes. That is how you will learn. Number 11, set communication patterns early in your relationship. That means if there is a disagreement, how do we handle it? How do we handle when we get upset with each other? How do we handle that? How do we handle when we feel hurt by each other? How do we handle it? But if you put a communication patterns together early, like, hey, whenever we get upset with each other, this is how we handle it. Then we have a step to follow. We have a way to start communicating with each other and tell each other exactly what is bothering us, instead of being upset and giving the cold treatment and the silent treatment and everything else that comes with being angry at each other. All right, number 12, pray together. Praying together is one of the most humbling thing you can do, because you all are submitting to God, telling God that you need Him, for Him to help you with everything that's going on in your life. You are releasing control and you are reaching out to a higher power who you know who has control of the universe. So I think it's a humbling experience. And if you pray together, you have that. It's another way for you to really enhance your relationship and really show your vulnerability to each other, because you and your spouse is submitting to a higher power. Eat together. Eat dinner together, lunch together, whenever you have time, you eat together, because if you eat together, you have time to chat about things. Make it a moment where you eat slowly and really talk and chat with each other, because that you won't believe how much that alone can save your marriage and can save your children from getting into all sorts of negativity. Number 14, exercise together. I don't know if it's because my husband and I, we both enjoy exercising, but exercising together helps too, because, you know, we want to stay in shape. We want to do things that help us to live longer and spend time with each other, more time with each other. And exercising and eating together is another thing that we can do to actually not only look better, not only live longer, but to be together. Number 15, guard your finances together. And I know money is a big thing in every marriage. And I think if you take the time to really learn about how you guys will handle your money, it's the same thing with communication patterns. It's like you have to set the stage for what it is that you, how you spend, and how you save, how you invest in your relationship, because you are really preparing for your future. So I think if you do that together, instead of the husband taking care of the finances, I think if husband and wife do it together, then you all are in the clear and you know what's happening with the money. And everybody is at a good position to know if something happens to one of you, then the other person will be well equipped to take on the household responsibilities. Number 16. Find creative ways to be intimate. Yes, I mean, you want to spice up your relationship. And I know, and I can tell you, after you get married with all the kids and all the things that you have to do, sometimes being intimate is the last thing you're thinking about. But in reality, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, there are plenty of opportunities for you to be intimate with your spouse. I mean, it's like a smile, a look, a hug, a holding of the hands, even while you preparing a meal. And it's just the way you look at each other and the way that you touch each other, the way you speak to each other. All of those things can become an intimate moment. You don't have to go out of your way to create an intimate moment. It could be right in the kitchen. It could be right in the bathroom. It could be right in the bedroom. Wherever you are, a look, a kiss, a touch of somehow can create an intimate moment. Number 17. Well, I say forgive often. Okay, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Just forgive in advance, right? I mean, I tend to even forgive in advance because I know things will go wrong. I know there will be conflict. There have been conflict. And if you are holding grudges and if you are being resentful, it's going to create a lot of bitterness, a lot of distance between you and your significant other. And that's going to create a whole lot of problem. I mean, I understand if there are terrible things that are happening, if somebody's breaking the law, mistreating you repeatedly, I mean, I'm not telling you to stay in that unsafe situation, but everyday things that happen that we get on each other's nerves and we say things we don't mean, we say things when we're angry, and we do things that may not be pleasing to the other person, find a way to forgive each other. And move on. Don't hold it. Don't keep repeating it over and over again and reminding the person of their failure each and every chance you get. That's going to create distance. That's going to create a lot of problem. It's not going to make that person love you more. It's probably going to be the opposite. Okay, so forgive often. Forgive often. And the last one, have sex often. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said it. If you are close to each other and intimate like that, it's going to be hard for you to be mad at each other. And I understand sometimes we get complacent with sex too. We act like it's like a duty. We act like it's something that we have to do. And it becomes boring like everything else, right? But you have to find a way to be present. You have to find a way to engage. And I know sometimes we get so busy. One time I told my husband, I said, because I think I heard it in an Oprah show or something. I'm like, well, that sounds so cold, but hey, whatever it takes to make the marriage work. Basically, a counselor, family counselor, sex therapist was saying that when couples don't have time to have sex, they should schedule it in a calendar. And I told my husband that one time. I said, hey, we haven't been able to, so let's schedule it in the calendar, like every kid's appointment, and get it done. I know it doesn't sound romantic. It doesn't sound romantic, but you know what? It can get romantic because it's something that you and your spouse are looking forward to. So there is, it's like really the antidote to everything that may go wrong in your relationship that's it right there. If you have more sex, if you have more sex and do all the other things and do a few of the other things that's on the list, I mean, you have a good chance of staying close to each other. You have a good chance of staying into each other and intrigue into each other, so that your marriage can continue to grow and flourish. Well, okay, that is the 18 indispensable lessons I learned from 18 years of marriage. I hope you can take one or two things from this list to implement in your marriage right now to help you take your marriage to the next level, to help you bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be. Until then, I want to remind you that you are unstoppable, and anything you put your mind to, you can achieve. Until next time. I would love it very much to connect with you. Please follow us on our Facebook page at the Dr. Gigi Jasmine Show, or you can join us at Women Entrepreneurs Breaking Barriers to get weekly motivation, inspiration, life tools, and business tools to really empower you to take unstoppable action. Hey, 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 thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show and if you learned something, please tell us on our Facebook page, The Dr. Gigi Jasmine Show, or join us at Women Entrepreneurs Breaking Barriers on our Facebook page. Also, one of the best gifts you can give me is a review at Apple Podcasts. Hop on in there and I want to hear from you. I mean, it encourages me and I get so excited when I get a message from you. Thank you so much again for listening. See you next time.